Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events may help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Now let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me live here on Real Liberty Media. I appreciate you guys very much. We got a bajillion things to talk about today, but let's get through the little intro first. This is the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media, and I don't turn left. I'm just a guy having some fun, shining light on the darkness. And man, I'm telling you, there's a glimmer of hope on the horizon here. Hey, could y'all please post on any social media sites that you're a part of that we are live and we're here. Invite people over to the chat room and to catch us live. That'd be great. Tomorrow, Behind the Woodshed with Hal Anthony is on at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Hal's got a two-hour show. He doesn't use breaks. Man, that guy is full throttle for 2 hours, packed full of information. I really think you should give him a listen. It's fantastic. That's 3 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow. Every Sunday, Hal Anthony, Behind the Woodshed. Hey, today was Christmas cookie day here on the... Here on the homestead. Forgot to switch the camera on. You know, you got to get used to this stuff a little bit at a time. I've been screwing around with the new sound card. We're not using it for this show. Put everything back to normal, but there's a couple of tweaks, you know, that I still have to figure out on that thing. So it'll be a little bit. I have a little Christmas scene up on the camera so you guys can enjoy that. It is kind of cool, too. Let me check it out here. There we go. Put it in motion. There we go. Anyway, it's Christmas cookie day today. So what that means is, like, last night, Rochelle and Crystal made a bunch of cookie dough. And, Yeah, and then today... they're just cookie making all day long. So they just put rack after rack of cookie in the oven. And then when the cookies come out, everybody else, you know, decorates the cookies. And then she puts them outside to cool for a bit. And then puts them in, you know, tins or containers. And then send them out to friends and family. So if you want some, just leave all your personal information in an email to me. And I'll get them right out there, but of course we will sell your information to any takers, you know, because that's the way things are done today. I'm just kidding. If you want Christmas cookies, just let me know. I'll send you some. Everybody but Vinny. I'm kidding. Vinny can have some too. He could probably just stop by and get some. No, I think he's kind of a long ways away now. Anyway, back to it. Yes. Oh, so I do have some video of the whole operation. I probably won't tie it in to this video. I'll probably make it separate, but you will be able to go check it out, kind of see the whole operation. And I think I got all the dogs too. There was like, six dogs here. So four of our own and two from, you know, the kids and grandkids. Anyway, so... yeah, that'll be cool. I think you'll, I know, right? I haven't put any new videos up of Ruby, and holy cow, she's so big. It's kind of crazy. So, you know, she's only 7 months old, but when I come home from work or come home from whatever, she comes to me real gently. She's kind of, you know, golden retrievers are kind of like the perfect, well, I think all dogs are perfect, you know, mostly. But she's kind of just like the perfect, mellow, kind of just easygoing dog, so she kind of saunters up to you. You know, she doesn't just charge at you, but she just kind of saunters up to you real slow, and she's a retriever, so she swings side to side, you know. She's got that beautiful retriever tail and this big soft face, and so she just gets close to me, and then she just puts one paw on my thigh and the other paw on my waist, and then the first paw on my chest, and then the second paw on my shoulder and the other paw on my shoulder, and she just like so gently just climbs up to just give me a hug. You know, it's just the greatest thing. Yeah, she's a good dog. We have all good dogs, honestly. They're all great in their own way. There was a story, I don't think I put it in my notes, but the World Economic Forum wants you to basically kill your pets. I mean, big surprise, you know, because dogs and cats eat, you know, meat. I mean, they're carnivores, for God's sake. So, and all that meat production is, of course, destroying the planet. So you can't have cats and dogs, for crying out loud. Boy, I'd make their, you know, head explode knowing that I had four dogs and a cat here. Gee, many Christmas. I'll be at probably not the top of their hit list, but I'll be in the top 25%, I'll bet. Anyway, yeah, some sweet people in the world, but man, the light is shining on people these days. And I don't just mean Twitter, but we are going to get to more Twitter coverage today. I think there's a really important point to put out there. But not only that, but in different places, man, you're just seeing more and more people exposed. Now, nobody's heads are rolling quite yet. So, you know, I'll be glad when I see more something happening. But I just noticed that don't matter. Yeah, I want to see more people's heads rolling, that's for sure. Like, I want to see people paying the price. Here's the problem I see coming at us, though. So with all of the exposure that's going on, with everybody who's being basically, you know, put on Front Street, thrown under the bus, whatever you want to call it, there's going to be a lot of questions to be answered. People are going to have to come forward, you know, and answer for the stuff that they've done. And that's going to take a long time. You know how long it takes Congress to do anything. What has really shocked me this last week is you cannot find a reporter on mainstream media talking about the Twitter files at all. Made me think today, of the civil rights movement. I mean, the actual civil rights movement. Can you believe there was actually a civil rights movement at one time here in the United States? It wasn't that long ago. Some of us actually have lived through it. Yeah, literally people stood up for civil rights. And it was big news. It was on every, you know, news station all over the world, I don't know, but at least all over the United States. And hell, back then, television was in its infancy, really. But every day you had more and more exposure about people's civil rights being violated. Today, when the government has colluded with private entities to squelch your civil right of free speech, you don't hear a peep from the mainstream media. Now, how do we get to the point? How do we go from here to letting everybody know, everybody, you know, conservatives, progressives, liberals, independents, everybody know that the government wants to take your civil rights? We already know the Second Amendment is constantly you know, under assault from the federal government and the state governments as well. Oregon's tied up in a big fight right now because they passed a stupid gun law that, yeah, I've talked about it before. You can just go listen to whatever show I did that on. I'm sure it's in the notes. I'm not sure it's in the notes. Yeah, it's in the notes. But, yeah, they don't care. They don't care what political background or stance you have. They don't care who you support. They don't care who you support. And that's the problem, is because right now the Democrats are in charge. So there's a lot of it, a lot of this censorship aimed at, you know, the conservatives. But it's not going to always be like that. And if you don't stop something in its tracks because it's the wrong thing to do, whether you're left or right or center, it's only going to continue to be done. And we really have to do something about it. You have to stop it. You have to do something to stand up for these rights. And I'm telling you, I mean, they were blatantly, they didn't even try and hide anything because they thought they were on a platform that would never be revealed. Can you imagine that? Your federal government, agents in the federal government colluded with private entities to squelch free speech and to affect an election outcome. And they got it. So they got what they wanted. That's fine. You got away with it for a bit. One of the problems that I'm seeing right now is how are we going to find out the truth from YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google, all of these other entities? You know that they have the same thing going on. And the only thing that's preventing that information from coming out is there's not a billionaire waiting to buy one of those entities to expose them. And just imagine this. So Elon Musk has taken, I couldn't even believe this. I actually, when I wrote this number, I said the cost of truth. Elon Musk spent at least $44 billion to buy Twitter to reveal some truth. And when I wrote that number down, when I put it in my notes, I was like, $44 billion? No, that can't be right. I had to go look it up. I'm like, oh my God, it was $44 billion. You know, not everybody has $44 billion, and there's not like a whole bunch of, billionaires, multi-billionaires just looking to buy one of these trash bags. So Elon took a chance, and he did it, and now he's exposing people. He's exposing the truth. He's shining light on stuff. And I'm not saying he's the savior of the world or anything like that. I still have quite a few reservations about Elon Musk myself. For one, how could such a smart guy put so much money in electric vehicles, for crying out loud? I mean, I'm sure, you know, I know that the argument is that they're going to figure out some technology that's better than what they currently have. But that technology doesn't exist right now, so we don't know what kind of elements are going to go in these batteries. And just think of this for a minute. All of the elements that we use, you know, kind of regularly for, well, since the industrial age, well, we already know where to get those elements and how much of those elements, pieces, parts, minerals, whatever, are in the earth. Well, we have a general idea. We kind of have an idea how much lithium is in the earth available. You know, they do kind of some simple calculations. They're like, okay, like how much lithium is in this particular area, and then we figure out how much of that would be spread out throughout the earth, and, you know, like what percentage of the makeup of the earth is lithium, for example. And then they kind of guess that, okay, so there must be this much lithium in the entire earth. Well, they already know they don't have enough lithium to make the number of electric cars that they want to make in the next 10, 15, 20 years. So what I'm saying is, okay, Elon, you're a smart dude. You've come across as a smart dude. I have no doubt in my mind that you're a smart dude. So what are you going to do next? Because electric cars isn't it. But he has done a good job with Twitter. I know advertisers are coming back to Twitter because they see what's going on, and they're finding it. It's what I said 2 weeks ago, I think, or more. I don't know. That you remember Mike Lindell? I always like to go back to Mike Lindell. They completely destroyed that guy after the election when he got the computer forensics people to come out and say, hey, this is what happened during the election. We can see traffic going into these machines, huge chunks of data. He had the forensic computer people, data people, show everything. And instead of the mainstream media going, holy crap, we got to do something about this. You know, what the hell is going on there? They all hated Trump so much, they were just like, yeah, cancel him. And Mike Lindell hung in there, man. He was doing the right thing, and he knew he was doing the right thing. And then people started coming back. You know, people continued to support Mike Lindell. The MyPillow guy is the guy I'm talking about. I know I bought stuff from him that I didn't need. They were wants, but it was like, hey, I'm going to support this guy one way or another. You know, if I'm going to send you some cash for whatever it is you're doing, if you're a creator, I mean, people know some of my creators, the people that I followed, they get money from me every month because I appreciate the content they create. Mike Lindell, I appreciate the product he makes. I didn't need him. I'm telling you what, though, just a little, I'm not being paid for this. He does make the most comfortable slippers I've ever owned. I am not kidding. Those, oh my goodness. No kidding. The best slipper I've ever put on my foot for sure. And I've had them, over a year now. And they're still, they're you know, tattered and torn a little bit because, you know, I wear them outside in the mud and the rain and the snow and in the summertime and, you know, to the store and back. I wear them all the time. But yeah, you know, he hung in there and people came back and people started supporting him. Probably like me, they didn't need the stuff, you know. They didn't need his product. They didn't need a new pillow. They didn't need slippers. They didn't need a new robe. They didn't need new sheets. But they bought him anyway to keep the guy going because he's honest. He's a God-fearing man. He just wants the truth out. That's all he was doing. You know, but today what we actually do is punish people who are righteous, air quotes, people who are godly. You know, you're just a freak. You know, oh, you believe in God. There must be something wrong with you. That's going to be one of those things on the new gun permitting in Oregon. I can almost guarantee you. Do you believe in God? Oh, you do? You're mentally ill. We can't issue you a gun. I could almost guarantee you that's going to be a disqualifying item here in Oregon. It's the craziest thing. But Elon Musk, what I'm saying is, so Elon Musk, whether he's God-fearing or not, I don't know, but he's a truth seeker. And he's like, you know, his thing is F around and find out. And I actually have a great story. This was incredible. I don't know if you guys have read through the Twitter files or not. I have, because I wanted to see for myself, of course. And Jack Dorsey, okay, Elon Musk basically, okay, not Elon Musk, whoever was putting out the files in the last couple of weeks, last week, no, there's been 3 dumps so far, I don't know if you know that. Make sure this is on the screen. Yeah, more or less. It's on the screen. Jack Dorsey tries to fact check Elon Musk about what was a crime at Twitter, and it doesn't go very well. Now, let me tell you how the, I'm going to give you the kind of summarized version. I'm not going to read it verbatim. Well, maybe a couple of sentences. But this is what's really irritating about this. So y'all know who Jack Dorsey is, right? So he was the previous owner of Twitter. So Jack Dorsey allowed child pornography to be passed around on Twitter. And don't try and make the argument, well, he was the CEO, he didn't know. If you're the CEO of a company, you need to know what the hell is going on your platform. He knew, number one, he can't deny that he knew what was going on because he was involved in conversations about a couple of specific cases where the minors actually have sued him, tried to sue him and Twitter to get their own information removed. People were using them, child trafficking them in pornography, and they wanted that stuff taken down. So he was named, you know, advised about these lawsuits. He had to know that underage people were being taken advantage of and child pornography was on Twitter. First of all, let me ask you something. Would there be any excuse whatsoever in the United States if you were aware of a minor in sexually explicit actions, videos, pictures, is there any reason why you would allow that to go on? It is against the law here in the United States. And I got bad news for Jack, because I used to work in the federal prison system, so I became aware of a lot of laws that you don't want to break, certain kinds of laws in particular. Although federal prison is probably a pretty good place to serve your time, from what I hear from the inmates. They used to tell me, yeah, Doc, if you're ever going to commit a crime, don't make it a state crime, man, make it a federal crime. Okay. I tucked that away just in case. So Jack Dorsey, being the head of Twitter, which is a universal social media platform, and by universal I mean it travels throughout the world. Now, other countries, I'm sure, can tag things as pornography and keep it from coming into their country. But here's the problem. In the United States, if you traffic child pornography across state lines, it's now a federal crime, especially if you do it with a computer. Because you have just transferred electronic data that's illegal across state lines. Now you're in federal crime territory. Jack Dorsey knew. Let's see if I can find out what he said. Let's just read through this real quick. Yes, child porn is illegal, and because it has crossed state lines and country borders, it is a federal crime, Jack. Pack your bags, a-hole. Maybe you enjoy child porn. Easy access when you own the platform. I heard somebody say, I'm not going to say it, never mind. No, that's it. So there was anyway some tweet. Elon put out this tweet, you know, and said that Twitter had allowed this illegal activity to go on for far too long. And Jack Dorsey just tweeted back, that is not true. And then Elon pointed out to him how it was true. Hang on one second. Getting dried out. Yeah, maybe so. Maybe that is why he brought along his lawyer. Make sure he didn't say anything too incriminating. But guess what? It's too late now, man. Cat's out of the bag. Your information is out there for everybody to see. And I thought it was so funny last week when Dorsey kind of challenged Elon. And I covered it in my last show. Kind of challenged Elon to make everything transparent from you know, the past to the present. And the conversations that are going on today. And I'm like, no, you don't get that choice anymore. You know, you bailed. You let that company continue to hurt children. That's what it comes down to. You didn't give a crap about child porn. You didn't give a crap about those children's lives or the future children who are also going to be, you know, trafficked in child pornography. You didn't care about any of that. All you cared about was profit. That's it. No worries for the children. I can't wait until the next time I hear any of the likes of him from these social media platforms supporting the Democrats in their next fight for the children. Guess what? The Democrats, the liberals, they all, the most important thing to them in the last 6 years was to censor Donald Trump and the conservatives and Republicans and anybody who exposed Democrats for what they really are. They don't care about children. I mean, here is a perfect example of the left, the progressives, the liberals, not giving a crap because they all knew it was going on and they didn't do anything about it. They didn't, not only did they not do anything about it, but they still aren't doing anything about it, including the mainstream media. You don't hear the mainstream media up in arms about all these children that were exposed on Twitter, that were trafficked on Twitter, that were traded on Twitter. You don't hear about it. Mainstream media is silent about the Twitter files. Not a word. Why not? This should be big news. You know, you can get a lot of followers, a lot of people to tune in if you start talking about how these poor children were trafficked in child pornography. Oh, but you can't do that because it's on your, you know, your favorite platform where you get all your leads, where you all get in sync on what the next crushing Republican story you're going to come out with, because that's your only focus. So don't come out anymore. You know, I think more and more people are ditching the mainstream media, and thank God for that. And thank God for people putting out content. Honestly, I encourage it. Hang on, I got to have some more of this Mullen tea. The medicine ball right here. All right. Yeah, so don't come out, you know, next election cycle and talk about why you need a few billion dollars for the children. Because some of us are not going to forget what you thought about the children, you know, in the last 2 years, in the last 6 years. And today, and continuing. Crazy. And aggravating. Irritating as hell. Because you know, they are going to come out, well, we need, you know, we need to put more money in our schools. It's for the children. You don't give a crap about those children. Not one single iota. Well, let's just see. Maybe I should move on, eh? Yeah, okay, so I wanted to bring up this story because this is, I want to talk about the Idaho murders for a minute. And I'm just going to give you a brief summary about this because maybe everybody doesn't know. But there's something about the Idaho murders. Now, this is what happened. I brought up this little timeline. So let me explain this to you. I'm going to give you the little bit of the condensed version. So these University of Idaho students, there were six of them living in a house. I'm going to call it a house. Some people have referred to it as an apartment. Hang on. Okay, six of them were living in a house. Overnight one night, let's go to the night. Nice looking kids too. No mic mute. So on the 13th of November, two victims were seen in Twitch footage at a food truck. And then, so somewhere between the 13th and the 14th, four of these students were stabbed to death in their home. Okay? Four of them were stabbed to death in their home. Two of them were not stabbed to death, but were in the home. All right? Now, I kind of figured, like, the first day, oh, they'll have somebody in custody tomorrow. It's Moscow, Idaho, for crying out loud. It can't be that big of a city. I mean, it's a decent city. But four people stabbed to death in one house, two others in the house, and nobody heard anything, nobody did any or saw anything, no reaction from anybody. Like, even when you stabbed the first one, I mean, Jesus. You would think there'd be some kind of a ruckus. And I don't know how far apart these rooms are. Or maybe everybody had their earbuds in. Or stereos playing. But how can you not hear somebody being stabbed? I mean, I know stabbing is silent. I mean, hang on. I gotta fix this. Maybe that'll do it. We'll see. So I don't know, like, how you could not know that something's going on in your house. I mean, yeah, college students, maybe they were really drunk. Maybe they were passed out. Maybe there were drugs involved. I really don't know. I don't know that anybody knows any of that stuff yet. I just find it hard to believe that there are six people in a house. And it turns out, I guess there were two people on the third floor, two people on the second floor, two people on the first floor. And there was access to the second floor from the ground. In other words, you figure it out. There was access to the bottom floor from the ground. There's access to the second floor on the opposite side from the ground. And then the top floor, you had access from stairs inside. I'm assuming that because I read some stuff. They don't have anybody in custody. They don't even have any suspects, which is suspect. I mean, these people are seen on video. They've been tracked, you know, have pictures of them. And they don't have anybody in custody. They don't have any suspects. Just 3 days ago, 4 days ago, they put out a description of a car that was in the area at the time. Seriously? It's been a freaking month, and you just now are getting around to talking about a car that was there at the time, or maybe allegedly there at the time. There's something wrong with this story, man. It doesn't make sense. Well, first of all, this is what first kind of got my attention. And I'm not saying anything about the two people that survived, except that the two people that survived called or were part of the emergency call to 911 to say they think one of their roommates was passed out at 11 o'clock the next day or something like that. And those two people weren't considered suspects or were cleared. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I don't know. They were in the house before these four came home. And they didn't hear a thing and they actually were left alive. I don't know. Okay, though. If you say they're not suspects, okay. They didn't hear anything. They didn't see anything. I don't know. Maybe they weren't out drinking, but, you know, how did they not know something was going on in this house? I really am kind of interested to see the layout of this house and maybe the construction of this house at some point in the future to see how in the hell you can go in and kill four people. I mean, maybe... Now, think of how crazy this would have to be. Maybe four people had, under some coordinated effort, went in and knew where each person slept, and they went to each person individually, kind of on a time thing, and just killed all four of them at once. Don't know, but man, something is crazy wrong with this story. To not have any idea who did this? Gosh dang, man. Nobody has said anything about any kind of resistance. So I'm not going to say, yeah, see, that's the thing. Maybe that's what I'm thinking, drugs or alcohol and asleep. And then, yeah, it'd be kind of easy to kill somebody, wouldn't it? Because there's no struggle. There's no resistance. I've seen somebody get cut up before that was still alive on some sick website. And that person was obviously drugged up enough that they didn't resist anything. They were cut to pieces. It was sickening. So I don't know. But this is a crazy story. I just thought I'd talk about a little bit because it doesn't make any sense to me. All right, moving on. Bajillion things to cover today. Hey, remember last week when I was talking about a brain versus a supercomputer and how it took the supercomputer like 40 minutes to simulate like 1 second of brain activity, and it wasn't even total brain activity. It was like 1/1000th of the amount of brain activity. Well, then I ran into this story today. Well, not today, but recently. It says, let's just go to this. This is really kind of a crazy story. Invisible Brain, I'll tell you the concept in a minute, gives hope to brain revival and regeneration. It says, over the past few years, a host of discoveries have shattered people's notions of how the human brain works. For example, medical experts have discovered that certain individuals with severe lack of gray cerebral matter, so-called brainless guys, have normal or supernormal intelligence, and that animal brains recovered 4 hours after death. What? Yeah, they screwed up that. Therefore, several scientists have introduced the concept of the invisible brain to decipher those mysteries. So basically, this is something that they kind of discovered. So where does their wisdom come from? In the 1980, science cited a brainless case that was witnessed by John Lorber, a professor of neurology at the University of Sheffield in England. A university student showed excellent academic grades, an IQ of 126, an honorary degree in mathematics, and normal social networking skills with a head slightly larger than normal. Surprisingly, a brain scanning test showed that the student's brain was just about 1 millimeter thick, while normal brain tissue is about 4.5 centimeters thick. Isn't that crazy? 1 millimeter versus 4.5 centimeters? Within his skull was largely cerebrospinal fluid, which is commonly known as hydrocephalus. This case is not alone. As hydrocephalus specialist, Lorber systematically collected more than 600 cases of the condition, half of which were so severe that their brain volume was less than 5% of the normal standard, but with an IQ of more than 100. So basically, this is what they're finding out. They put a lot of credence in what this the cerebral cortex does, and they always said so much activity happens in the cerebral cortex. But here these people don't even have a cortex or have a significantly reduced cortex, and all this activity has taken place somewhere else, and they're not really 100% sure where that somewhere else is, but it's getting done because they have people here that are proof that it's getting done. Something else that they have found is in some young infants that were known to have hydrocephaly before they were born, they went in, at least in one case, they drained off that cerebrospinal fluid, and the brain, which was 5% of what should actually be there, regenerated to 80% of the normal brain size. That's pretty damn amazing when you think about it. Anyway, it's kind of interesting. Patrick Wall, professor of anatomy at the University of London, says for hundreds of years, neurologists have assumed that all that is clear to them is performed by the cortex, but it may well be that the deep structures in the brain carry out many of the functions assumed to be the sole province of the cortex. So I thought that was just an awesome story, kind of a real life example of how fantastic a brain is. And I just thought I'd pass it along since we just talked about, you know, that last show. I thought it was really interesting. And of course, then I kind of had to stumble on this. I mean, I couldn't really pass this story up, honestly. It just fits perfectly. Not with the brain story, but this journalist, Grant Wall, he was detained for wearing a gay pride shirt at the World Cup. You know, the World Cup, the soccer thing that's going on right now, that's just basically interfering with my local news because happens to be on a channel that's being covered by that's covering the World Cup. So it irritates me every morning because the World Cup starts at like 7 a.m. here and, you know, no morning news. And then in the evening or afternoon somewhere, yeah, it's real popular. So this guy, 48-year-old guy, a 48-year-old male, in good health, a sports journalist who's been covering soccer for a decade or two, died suddenly at the soccer game, covering the soccer game. He drops dead. What do you suppose caused that? I'm sure it wasn't a vaccine, because you don't need to get a vaccine to be a journalist. Oh, yeah, you do. Now, there's some speculation that this guy was killed because, of course, he showed his support for gay pride. And it turns out that his brother is gay. His brother's back here in the United States. I think here in the Pacific Northwest, but I could be wrong. And so he was basically showing support for his brother. And I think that's awesome. You know, I don't think that when the, the governing body of the, World Cup, when they said players can't show any support, they probably didn't say that the journalists couldn't. I mean, maybe if you were really showing respect for the country you're in, you wouldn't do such a thing, but he did. And some people are saying they think he was killed. Now, I mean, I think killing people who support, gay rights is probably a little extreme, but there's a lot of countries in the world that do not think killing people that support gay rights is extreme. My sister and I used to have this argument pretty well, not regularly, but once in a while, because she would always talk about people she wanted to let into this country, and I would tell her, I would say, that those people would kill you for your lifestyle. They don't respect your lifestyle. But she didn't care. She just wanted more of them in this country. I guess because she thought that that would be a good idea. I think it's a horrible idea. I don't want more people in this country who want to kill me. Eventually I'll run out of bullets. But anyway, so be it. So I don't know. I guess we're going to find out eventually. But, I mean, look at him. Nice young guy, healthy, 48-year-old male, like in that perfect group to get, endocarditis, myocarditis, blood clots, all the complications that come with the spike protein. And, yeah, I'm 100% sure he couldn't be covering the games without being back. So he's vaxxed, and probably double vaxxed and boosted and everything else. Then I have this great story. Speaking of, letting people come in this country who want to kill you, this right here is why the government is still pushing solar power and wind power, to solve the energy crisis. Because they are really crappy at math. Oh, and it looks like the whole picture is not on the screen. Let me just see if I can fix that. Let's see. Yeah, there we go. All right, so this is ICE, the Immigration and Customization something. Immigration and Customs, I don't know what it stands for. Immigrations and Customs Enforcement. Here's their... a little tiny, just a slight error in their reporting of illegal immigrants released without tracking technology. A little miscalculation causes ICE to underreport illegal immigrants released without tracking technology by over 18,000%. Right? Immigration and Customs Enforcement claimed that a data miscalculation caused the agency to underreport the number of illegal immigrants released into the United States without tracking technology by over 18,000%, the Daily Caller News Foundation reported. 18,000% is a ginormous error. So, okay. So basically, remember what I've said before about everybody who works in the government? They're not there because they were the sharpest, smartest, you know, top of their class graduates. They weren't there because they were, you know, they were so desired in private practice that they just thought, you know what, I don't know, I could work for all these big companies, get a gigantic paycheck, but I'm just going to go work for the government for about a tenth that or a hundredth of that. Because, you know, someday I'll get a pension, they have good benefits, and you don't really need to be that good. Here's a perfect example. How can you be off 18,000%? How do you make a miscalculation of 18,000% and still have a job? Because it's the government. That's how. It's the only way that that happens. Is because you work for the government. And I mean, you have to really screw up. You have to screw up more than 18,000% to lose your job in the government. But yeah, so, you know, even the simple, extremely simple math I did to demonstrate how there's not enough land mass to provide solar power to everybody in the United States, they wouldn't be able to follow it. I'd have to eliminate an 18,000% error to make it like acceptable to them. Oh my God. Hey, but you know, I kind of have to go back to this thing. I said there's a glimmer of hope, right? There is a glimmer of hope. At least they actually discovered it. Oh my goodness. Okay. Here is a true glimmer of hope. I'm not kidding about this. This, I couldn't believe when I read it, and I'll keep it in check. It's not the end. It's not like, the world's been healed with this one little thing, but I'm telling you, this is pretty cool. So a court permanently blocks Biden administration's transgender mandate. Now, this is kind of cool. So a federal appeals court has permanently blocked the Biden administration's bid to force doctors and insurers to perform or pay for gender transition procedures, even if they object on grounds of conscience, and medical judgment, with the court basing its decision on constitutional protections of religious freedom. Amen. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit issued a unanimous ruling, and there's a PDF. I'm just going to bring it up real quick so you can see it. Open in a new tab. And there it is. All right, so the document's right there. It's real. Blocking the controversial U.S. Department of Health and Human Services transgender mandate. Issued in 2016, the mandate interpreted the Affordable Care Act in a way that required doctors to perform gender transition procedures on any patient, including children, even if the doctor was convinced the procedure could harm the patient. Oh my gosh. So just, I mean, going back to them not caring about kids, you know, and I made this argument a few times. Mutilating kids, you know, I guess to make a political point, it doesn't make sense to me. But anyway, that's been squashed by this Eighth Circuit Appeals Court, which doesn't mean it's over. It just means it's permanently on hold until it probably works its way all the way through, you know, whatever. The mandate also required the vast majority of private insurance companies and many employers to cover the cost of gender transition therapy or face penalties. The HHS's own panel of medical experts acknowledged that gender transition procedures can be harmful and in many cases not medically justified, with HHS determining that Medicare and Medicaid should not be forced to cover such procedures. Thank God. Research has shown that gender transition procedures carry a significant risk for children, including loss of bone density, heart disease, and cancer. You know, first do no harm, but boy, we've sure lost track of that. And we're cruising the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media right here. So if you didn't, I'm moving along here. So if you didn't see the Died Suddenly documentary, here's what a lot of people criticized about that documentary. Basically, they said, well, you know, this person is a funeral home director, and these people are, you know, funeral home people. They're just preparing bodies for burial. They don't really have any scientific knowledge or any specific authority to talk about, you know, the blood clots and the fibrous clots and all the other things that they've been finding and the bodies that they've been processing for what they've been processing for burial. But here it says now autopsies, like those are the guys, the forensic guys who actually perform autopsies and document everything, are actually confirming what the funeral home directors have said for the entire COVID era. It says, found dead at home after COVID-19 vaccination. Autopsy series finds an array of fatal vaccine syndromes. And remember, I told you before, just to remind you, I put a couple of videos up of how you can detox from the COVID vaccine or the COVID disease, detox from the spike protein. And you can find that online too. FLCCC, just go, if you're interested, go look. FLCCC, look them up. They have everything you need to know right on that site and probably be able to help you out getting whatever you need there too. But anyway, the public is becoming increasingly disturbed with reports of death among the vaccinated. It is natural to ask, was the death caused by vaccination? I mean, that's becoming a common story. I still want to know, how did this stalker journalist, was he vaxxed or not? And, you know, did it have anything to do with his death? The most definitive way of answering that question is with autopsy. Schwab et al. Reported on deaths after vaccination with detailed autopsies in Heidelberg, Germany, of 35 fatalities within 20 days of injections, 10 were ruled out as clearly not due to the vaccine, you know, motorcycle crash. The remaining 25 had final diagnoses consistent with a vaccine injury syndrome, including myocardial infarction, worsening heart failure, vascular aneurysm, pulmonary aneurysm, fatal stroke, and vaccine-induced thrombotic thrombocytopenia. Interestingly enough, 5 cases had acute myocarditis as a cause of death, with histopathology in the heart muscle showing patchy inflammation very similar to what was seen in the deltoid muscles where the mRNA vaccine was injected. And, you know, now they're saying that more people are being hospitalized and are becoming ill who were vaccinated than unvaccinated. And I'll tell you a little personal story. I have two people that I know who both got COVID. They were both vaccinated. One of them had COVID before, so I don't know what that says about natural immunity. But, you know, I don't know what to say. I think if I was anybody, I would take my chances with the natural immunity and skip the vaccine because when you get the vaccine, you are basically getting the building blocks to make spike proteins. When you get the disease, you get the whole disease. You get the whole virus, and your body has to make antibodies to, yes, the spike protein and any other parts of the virus it can make antibodies to. But yeah, so it's interesting that we're out of time. I'll see you guys on Wednesday, 9 p.m. Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.